Don't throw no songbooks at the sound booth tonight, okay? Amen. Listen best you can. And I know it's aggravating. It is for me, too. I feel like I got bees swarming me up here. But that's okay. All right? Amen. Isaiah 28. Let's look in verse 23. And we may just slow down, teach. Y'all preach me slapped to death this morning. And so we'll give you best we can, what we can here tonight. Give you ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal weed and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? For his God, that is the plowman now, this husbandman, this one that has been given the responsibility of the upkeep of the field and the crop and all that is going on there, for his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cart wheel turned about upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with the staff and the cumin with the rod. Bread corn is bruised because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. Verse 29, ending this parable, ending this chapter, Isaiah said, this also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel. And I love how he ends it about this parable and all that is going on in the field. When it has been plowed, when it has been sowed, when it has been harvested, and after it has been threshed and all the grain is put up, here's what Isaiah said, the Lord is excellent in working. Amen. And we'll deal and end with that tonight if the Lord will be our helper. You can be seated. Isaiah 28, we said on last week, begins in much of this chapter, much like the entirety of the messages that are recorded that Isaiah preached himself throughout the book, is a rebuke against God's people for their sin. He pronounces not only their sin, what it is, but pronounces the pending judgment that is going to befall them because of their sin. And so he's calling upon them to repent and turn from their sin and their evil way and allow the word of God and the prophet of the Lord as he is ministering in their life, literally to turn them to God, to turn them to Christ. And somebody said, well, Christ is not in the Old Testament. I would beg to argue with you tonight, for in the midst of all of this, Isaiah said, I want to tell you that the Lord has said, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And so, no doubt, and that is quoted in reference even in the New Testament, that the one Isaiah was preaching about was bigger and better than the prophet, but was the message of the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll always be the tried and precious and sure stone and foundation for the soul of man to cast himself upon. And so he is dealing with the people of God and their need to respond to the message and the ministry of the man of God that God has sent their way to bring about a spiritual work in their life. In our text, we have drawn the conclusion and give the truth on last week that we find here the parable of the plowman. It seems to be to me the message or an illustration about God's working of grace among the people of God. Yes, they're in a mess, and yes, they need to get right with God, and yes, they need to turn from their sin. Yes, they need to flee to the Lord, That is going to be brought about by the working of the grace of God. As God sends a plow and sends a work upon their life by the husbandman that is seen in this text. And so the parable begins by calling us that have ears that we would hear, and that in hearing we would hearken to the message of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. The parable begins, doth the plowman plow all day to sow? There is a threefold working of the grace of God through the ministry of the man of God. Who is this plowman? Who is this husbandman working among the people of God on God's behalf? And so that threefold work of grace, it involves plowing, it involves sowing, and it ultimately involves threshing. We find all three aspects of that in this parable of the plowman. Plowing seems to be the point of the emphasis in this scene. This is the first work that will be done in the field. This is what begins the whole parable, that there is a plowman who is going into the field, and he is going there for one work, or in the beginning of his work, to drag a plow across the field. This is the first work done upon any plot of ground in which crops are going to be planted and seed is going to be placed that it might grow. Somebody has to break out the plow. And so observations about the plow and how it is a picture of truth and God's word and the ministry of the word of God, and how all of that applies to our thought tonight. We won't re-preach all this, but we understand that it is the most essential implement in the matter of what a husbandman does in his field. That there must be a plow. That is the most important aspect to beginning to grow a crop and to do something with a plot of ground. There must be a plow that is brought to the field. And so when we think of the Word of God, it is the most essential and the most important implement that we can have in this work of God. In this local New Testament church, we need the plow of the Word of God. The plow is what discovers what lies hid beneath the surface, uncovering rocks and roots and insects and destructive things that in time are going to hinder the seeds of germination and the growth of whatever crop is trying to come up. When we think about truth in the Word of God tonight, that's exactly what it does. Amen. It looks beyond the surface and brings us, my friend, encounters us in the thoughts and the intents of our very heart. Going beyond the surface, going beyond what is seen with the natural eye, and piercing us, my friend, where things are hidden in our life. The plow is what turns the soil that plot of ground can receive the rain and the light that, my friend, will penetrate down into where the seed is going to be placed. And thank God will nourish and grant to that seed everything that it needs to be cultivated to bring about fruit in time to come. And so we think about, amen, the Word of God tonight and its ministry. Amen, it is turning over our life constantly. Amen, and in doing so, it is making way for the rain, the nourishment of the Spirit of God to get down on the inside of us, and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel to shine, so that our lives can be brought to spiritual productivity. Ain't you glad for truth tonight? The plow of the Word of God. The thought we give you that gets us to our thought about the Word of God being the plow, being a picture of a plow, is that a plow cannot do work of itself. You'll take a plow to a field and drop it off, and that friend, that plow just being in the field doesn't do anything. There must be somebody willing to hold the plow. There must be somebody who is instructed and has the knowledge of what it is to draw that plow across the field. And until that happens, nothing can be done. And so our thought is, according to the way they plowed, they didn't plow like we do in our day. They didn't have John Deere's with cabs and AC and radios in them and Bluetooth speakers. They literally had to hook up yokes of oxen and old plows, and there must be a plowman. There must be a plowman, and that is what the parable is about, that the people of God in the shape they're in, what they need is a plowman. They need a plowman that is willing to plow. They need a plowman that is willing to put his hand to the plow and to involve himself in the working end of that plow. And my friend, to do a work in the field. What a picture we have tonight of the plow is a picture of truth. But what a picture we find in the parable of the plowman. And the plowman is a picture of the preacher and his word. May I say tonight, he is a picture of a God-called, God-sent preacher to minister among the people of God. And what a work a plowman, a spiritual plowman, God's plowman has in these days that we're living in. He had a plowman in the days of Isaiah. Isaiah is the plowman. Isaiah and men like Jeremiah and men like Haggai and on we could go. They were God's plowmen. They were preachers and prophets and men of God with a message and a word from heaven that had been sent to the field of God's people. And they weren't there to tickle their fancy. And they weren't there that, my friend, they might just simply till over the surface. They were sent by God to plow, plow, plow. Amen. And I think in these days we're living in, my friend, where our generation has lost their ever-loving mind. The only answer, and I'll be honest, the last few weeks it just seems like we're bombarded with all sorts of reminders of how immoral our nation and our generation is. But can I say tonight, I believe if there is any hope, and there has been a sense of hopelessness even within my own heart, that things can ever be turned around. But if there is any hope, I promise you this tonight, it ain't going to come from presidents and politicians. Amen. It is not going to come from our own county commissioners and mayors, as good or whatever they may be. Amen. The only hope that we have for this generation is for God's plowman, my friend, to take the plow of the Word of God and to plow this generation like so many of God's plowmen have plowed in generations gone by. Amen. That's the only hope for our nation. That's the only hope for your family. That's the only hope for your spiritual life. Amen. Is for God's plowman, amen, to arise and take truth. Amen. Turn over our life by the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And so we have been looking at in this text on God's plowman. Let's look at it for a moment tonight again. We just began three main headings out of this text that we have observed in study about God's plowman. God's plowman. Amen. He ain't a plow boy, he's a plowman. And it ain't a plow woman, he said it's a plowman. Somebody help me. Amen. I don't want to get carried away on that, but that's what the text said, doth the plowman. So there's a man, amen, amen, involved. We looked at last week primarily the perspiring of the plowman. The text said, doth the plowman plow. doth the plowman plow. This statement indicates the laborious, arduous work of the plowman. When you think of a man plowing as they did in those days, my friend, you come to the conclusion this is not for the lazy or for those who are weak-hearted and cannot take hardship. This is going to involve work. This is going to involve sweat. This is going to involve long days. This is going to involve encountering, my friend, setbacks and issues that are along the way that, and a man who is not fit for the work is not going to continue plowing. But the plowman has been made fit for the plow. Amen. He's not afraid of the work. Amen. He's not afraid of the hardship. He's not a lazy man. He is willing to, amen, spend the time and the labor and the effort that it's going to take to get a message from God and pray over it and labor over it and then stand up, my friend, and not bat an eye, but plow through the Word of God and make application to the hearts and the lives of the people of God. It is a piercing work that the plowman plow, indicating that this man's work involves turning over the soil. Amen. A preacher takes the plow of truth and literally begins to attempt to penetrate the hearts of men and women. It's been amazing how many times in the last 25 years of preaching, how many folk have met me at the door and said, "Preacher, you stepped on my toes today." And I've learned to say, if I stepped on your toes, then I missed the mark. Amen. The fact of the matter is, the plowman is interested not in bruising your toes, but in piercing your heart. He has a piercing work. It is a preparatory work that he does. Amen. He plows, and he plows all day. Amen. That, my friend, that seed may be sown in the ground. Amen. And so there is the thought that plowing comes before sowing. And so the preacher must prepare men and women's hearts that they might receive what God is going to give to them. Amen. It is preparatory work. And everybody wants God to work in their life. They wouldn't be a child of God tonight. They wouldn't say, "Boy, I want God to do something in my life." Do you know how God is going to prepare you to receive what God is going to do? Amen. If you try to bypass this pulpit and the ministry of God's plowman, amen, if you resist that piercing preparatory work, you will not be able to handle what God is going to do in you. Amen. And so it is essential work in that it is piercing and preparatory work. It is persistent work. For the parable said that he's plowing all day. Amen. All day, all the while that he can, at every moment that he's able. This plowman, he plows all day. When he hits resistance, he plows on. When he runs into a stop, amen, he don't go home sucking his thumb. He doesn't run home to mama and cry about how hard it is. Oh no, he stays in the field, amen, and he plows on and does what he must do. Amen, a persistent work, amen, plowing while it is day. It is a powerful work that he open and break the clods, is what the parable says. Amen. And so we find that he is busting the clods. He's opening up the earth. Amen. And we find there the powerful work of the plowman and the plow. Amen. The plowman with plow in hand. Amen. Is a mighty, fierce, powerful force. Amen. And you think about preaching in your life. Amen. A man of God, God's plowman and the work that he does. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, it's been a powerful force in my life. Amen. I'd hate to think about how clotted up my life would be. I'd hate to think about how hard I would be had it not been for a plowman doing a powerful work. Amen. A lot of other things we said about that on last week. We'll move on. It is a personal work. For this parable says that when it comes to the field in which God's plowman is plowing, there is a sense in which he is plowing that field with an understanding that that is his ground. That is the plowman's ground. That is his inheritance. That is where he has been commissioned to plow at. And I'm afraid there's a lot of men that do not understand their calling. There are a lot of so-called preachers that, my friend, do not value the place God has given them to minister. Amen. They have not taken possession of that and ownership of that in the sense that that is their work that is to be done. Amen. I don't know how other men feel about it, but amen, when I think about Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, amen, there's been one thing that, amen, on the hardest of days of being God's plowman has kept me here, and that is understanding this is the ground God gave me to plow in. He didn't tell me there weren't no rocks and stumps. In fact, amen, 10 years ago, he showed me there's going to be a lot of plowing you got to do. Amen, and buddy, I'm telling you, he has proven to be right and true. Amen, 10 years from now, there'll still be a lot of plowing needs to be done. In 30 years from now, amen, when I'm getting ready to retire, amen, there'll still be some plowing needs to be done. Amen. And what has kept me here and what has kept me faithful to this, amen, this place is, amen, the understanding that it is to be a personal work. Amen. A man who understands that, they ain't nobody can run him off. Amen. Amen. If y'all lose your mind and run me off, I'm going to stand over there on the other side of the highway and I'm going to plow y'all coming in and out of this place. Somebody say amen. Amen. You ain't going to run me off. Amen. I live next door. Praise God. I'll preach through the cedars that y'all, amen, on y'all's way in. You say, why? Amen. Because this is where God put me at. Amen. Until he moves me on or tells me I'm dead. Amen. There is a personal work that is to be done. Amen. It is a purposeful work. And we spent a lot of time on this last week. I've got to hurry, but it is a purposeful work when he hath made plain the face thereof. And so I think that's what preaching does. Preaching makes plain the face of our life. Amen. He does not casually or randomly drop the plow. He is not just plowing on a whim, but he is plowing with intelligent purpose. And there is a design that is in mind. There is a purpose that he has in mind. And he's going to plow until the face of that field has been laid bare. You know, that's why a lot of people don't like preaching the way that we try to do it around here. Amen. As pictured in plowing. Because real Bible preaching, you know what it does? It strips you down of everything you think you are. Amen. Amen. It takes truth in the Word of God. Amen. And you can come in big for your britches and proud as a peacock. Amen. But when a real man of God gets done, amen, every now and then you're going to feel like, boy, he has made my life plain. He has preached the Word of God plain. He has brought me down low. He has done a work in my life. Amen. And a lot of people, that's where they say, I don't really want that kind of a plowman. Amen. And so his purpose is my friend, to make plain the face of the field, meaning to level or to equalize. Amen. A plowman and preaching will bring stability to our life. Amen. It means to resemble. He'll keep plowing until that field resembles a ground that amen, that seed can come up. He's looking for a resemblance to be brought to that field. It means to adjust or to make an adjustment. Thank God for the ministry of preaching that, amen, adjusts our lives into what God would have it to be. Thank God, I'm saying this evening again, thank God for the perspiring of the plowman, a plowman that understands that work, and God's people that understand that work and that ministry and are receptive to the ministry of God's plowman in their life. Amen. You, my friend, you'll be benefited. Amen. Your life will be blessed by submitting yourself to God, by allowing God's plowman to do His work in your life. Amen. The perspiring of the plowman. Number two, we briefly mentioned a few things here just in a rush last week on point two and three. And I'll try to rush through this as best I can, not quite as fast as we did last week. But we see the preparation of the plowman. Notice with me in verse number 26, in this parable of the plowman, the Bible said, "For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him." And so this verse, it reveals some things about the schooling that is going to prepare the plowman that he might be effective in the work that he has to do in plowing. And so I wrote down several things, thought about several things just in this verse alone about the preparation of God's plowman. I see the providence of his preparation. The Bible said, "For his God doth instruct," and then it ends and said, "and doth teach." You see, the plowman's wisdom does not come from the Bible college he went to. His wisdom to be God's plowman does not come by the group of preachers that he associates with. It does not come because he has degrees one right after another that hang from the wall that it says he completed this course and this program that has become accredited to know how to plow. Nobody's ever gave me a certificate that said, amen, that I had passed the course on, amen, what it is to be a plowman. You say, "Well then, preacher, where does a man learn to plow?" Amen, that's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Amen, it is his God that providentially instructs him and teaches him how to plow. You see, many of us have our gardens in the ground, and Miss Kate's been working on ours. And you know why? Now you may read some books and you may get a lot of good ideas. Amen. But may I remind you tonight, amen, if any crop's going to come up in the natural realm, amen, it's God that has to give men and women that knowledge, my friend, of what it is, amen, to work that plot of ground. And so spiritually tonight, the preacher must get his instruction from his God. Amen. He's not to be taught by putting his finger, his wet finger, in the wind. He doesn't try to learn how to plow based on what the latest polls say. Oh no, he gets along with God in the classroom of his Savior. And there the Lord that called him begins to instruct him and direct him and teach him. And somebody said, "Preacher, where do you get your messages from?" Hey man, I get my messages from the Lord. Amen. Now, he may use other plowmen to spark a thought here and there. Amen. But what we preach and when we preach it and how we preach it, You say, I don't like all that. You need to learn to do a better job. Amen. Well, you may be right on the human level. Amen. I didn't get real good grades in the homiletics. That is the, amen, what they call in Bible college, the study of preaching. And they'll try to give you all these things. You're never going to leave the pulpit more than you can touch the pulpit and don't walk around it. And they'll try to teach you to be an orator. God didn't call me to be an orator. Amen. He called me to be a plowman. He called me to be a plowman. And I'm not saying learning some of those things are wrong. But a man of God must learn to plow how God teaches him to plow. Amen. 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 He'll be criticized for how he does it. But he's got to be willing to say this is how God has instructed. Amen. I think about even the church I pastor and how we don't have a large crowd, but we do have a diverse crowd. We have old people and young people. And we have folk been saved a long time and folk that ain't been saved that long at all. Amen. So I got a diverse group of people to preach to. And to teach and to instruct and to plow upon. There's some, I said it the other week, there's some, I just will never preach it as hard or tight as they would like. These others, I preach it many times way harder than they're willing to listen to. Say, preacher, how do you do that? I just block all that out, go get alone with God and sit in His classroom and say, Lord, I need You to instruct me and teach me how I am to plow. Amen. Amen. The providence of His preparation, the patience of His preparation. You see, the Bible said that His God doth instruct and doth teach, implying the plowman. And He is not perfect in His word nor in His wisdom. But God is patiently schooling him day by day, year by year. God is adding to the instruction and forming that plowman into the plowman that God would have for him to be. And I'm not trying to make the message all about me tonight. I despise that. I'm real uncomfortable about it, but it's all I know. Amen. And I think about what it was 20 years ago, beginning to pastor and beginning to be the plowman that God had in mind for me to be. And how many foolish days and how many foolish things I done. And probably blamed it on God for why I'd done it. Amen. And what you got to understand, there's times that the man of God, God's plowman, he's doing the best he knows to do with how he's been instructed. And he's not a perfect plowman. And he's not completed yet in the work that God has for him to do. And I'm so glad tonight that my God was patient with schooling and instructing and teaching me. Amen. I'm thankful God's people through the years, by and large, have been patient with me. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. I was listening to Brother Johnny Jones preach up at Pleasant View this week. Early in the week, I was watching it online. And it done my heart good to hear that old man of God talk about things that he had preached early on in his ministry and how he would preach that and he would go home and God would say, what you preached, that wasn't right. And how you preached, that wasn't the right spirit. And that old man of God bore his heart, and that done me good. I'm still a young plowman. I'm not a plowboy anymore, but I'm still 44 years young. Hearing that old man of God say, you know what I took from that? You know what I took from that, Brother Mo? What Brother Jones was saying, he was saying, God has been patient to work in my life and lead me to be the preacher that he is now in his older years. And still serving God and still plowing, not talking about compromise. But God had been patient with his plowman to instruct him and to teach him. And so we learn from this, the preacher is not perfect, but his God is patient with him. Amen. That God will rebuke him, and his God will sit him down and straighten him out. And his God will, amen, reveal to him where the plowman is plowed wrong, or with the wrong spirit, or misused truth and misused the plow. God is going to rebuke that, and thank God, God is faithful to work in his plowman. Amen. God is patient with the preacher. So God's people must learn to be patient as God is preparing his plowman.
Amen.
Amen. So many people evidently think they're greater than God is. I've had them, and I'm not talking about not calling things out. If things are out of line with the book, amen, they ain't no plowman that cannot be rebuked with that word, even among the church. Amen. Amen. I subject myself, if people are going to come in my office and rebuke me, I'll subject myself to that, but you better come with the word of God. Amen. Amen. I've had them come and try to tell me how I was plowing wrong and it wasn't right and they were losing their patience and they was going to take them and their family and leave. Amen. Y'all don't get nervous on me. I've experienced that for 20 years. It's nothing new. What they're saying is, I've run out of patience with this plowman. That's a dangerous place to get. Amen. I'm not talking about a man compromising fundamental truths. Amen. I ain't staying around nowhere where a man begins to preach a false way of salvation. I ain't staying anywhere where a man of God, and there's so many of these jacklegs coming around taking old-fashioned churches that have stood on old-fashioned principles for many, many years, and now they're jerking them to the left and jerking them into a compromising way because they've been enlightened greater than our forefathers were. Amen. And I listened to an interview, one of them jacklegs done this week. He talked about all the changes he made in that church and how them old timers were coming to him and trying to reason with him and talk to him, and how much and he even said, they're coming to me saying, we love our church. We just don't agree with the changes that are being made. Amen.
Amen.
And that punk little so-called preacher, amen, started mocking them old timers. Amen. Made me mad.
Amen.
Somebody help me. Amen. Made me downright mad. Any man gonna, amen, take a church that's been King James only all, I don't know why I'm a preaching this way. Amen. But take a church been King James only for 75 years and then bring in an ESV and expect them to understand. Amen. That man's an idiot. That man should have been run off. Amen. He's sucking his thumb and whining and crying about how they all treated him. They should have thrown his tail out. Somebody amen. Somebody say amen to the plowman. Amen. But I will say this, to the point of the patience that God has in preparing his plowman. Don't you lose your patience with God's man. Amen. Amen. If God's patient with him, don't think you're greater than God and that you don't have to be. Amen. The prudence of the plowman. The plowman is always learning. He's always learning. He's always learning. He's always saying, God, how can I plow better? God, how can I be more effective in the ground that you have given me to plow in? Lord, teach me how that I can be successful in what you've called me to do. Amen. He don't know all there is to know about plowing, but God instructs him in the way in which he knows more about plowing than others who have never put their hand on the plow.
Amen.
Never spent a day plowing in the field. I promise you this, he has more wisdom of how to do it than those who have never done it. Amen. That ain't putting him on a pedestal. Amen. That's just saying you better understand that there's a lot of things people have come to me about in the years. So I don't like this. I don't like this stand. I don't like what you taught. I don't like what you preached. Amen. They rise up to challenge it as though they know more about plowing than the plowman does. But they don't know the reasons you preach why you preach. And there's things the plowman cannot say as to why he's plowing the way he's plowing. Because of confidences and because of things that he's dealt with for weeks and trying to plow through some of those things, and then you get people get their feelings hurt because he plowed something they don't understand. Let me say, amen, you may not always understand why we preach, what we preach, how we preach it, when we preach it. But if the plowman and you, listen, you have my word, unless I lose my spiritual mind, amen, I do my best to be in tune with the Spirit of God. Amen. And when we stand up and say, God gave me this message, I wouldn't take that as a light thing. Amen. I'd say, plow on, preacher. I don't have to understand it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's get the last point. This is the good part. The payoff of the plowman. Let me give this to you quick as I can. I think I give you the first one on last Sunday night. Let me just work our way through it. What is the payoff? Amen. The payoff tonight is threefold for God's plowman. It's essential to understand it because there's going to be times the labor and the work of the plowman and all that he's being taught and prepared to do, all the sacrifice, all the sweat and the blood and the tears and the prayers and the sleepless nights. Sometimes, Brother Jack, it looks like to the human eye, he's wasting his time. And I want to say, as one of God's plowmen tonight, amen, every day that I have plowed for the Lord, I'm glad it has not been a waste of my time. Sometimes it feels like it. Let me say this. Sometimes it looks like it. Amen. Sometimes it looks like, amen, not only are you not being successful, but, amen, you're going in the opposite direction. But there is always a payoff for God's plowman. Verse 27 and 28, we give it to you on last Sunday night. But in verse 24, the plowman is plowing. Verse 25, he's making the plain the face thereof. In verse number 25, when it's made plain and it is ready, God begins to sow upon that. When you come to verse 27 and 28, now we're coming to harvest time. Now the crop has grown and is ready to be reaped and gathered in and threshed out and stored in the barn. And that is when the plowman receives his payoff. You say, what is it? It is when the harvest, his payoff involves the harvest that is gathered. When he begins to see, amen, after all those tiring days of plowing, the seed being sowed, when he sees the little sprouts beginning to break through the ground. And when the sprouts turn into shoots, and when the shoots begin to produce fruit, and when it is, my friend, watered, and when it is cared for by the hand of God, amen, all the way and brought to a mature harvest, when the plowman sees the harvest being gathered, there is a sense of payoff that it was worth all that he faced being a plowman plowing in the field. Now, I want to say tonight that is the greatest, that is, as far as the earthly realm and the earthly side of ministry, that is the greatest payoff I've ever had as one of God's plowmen, is to see fruit coming, spiritual fruit now beginning to grow and come up out of people's lives. When you see them get it, you see them begin to lay hold on Bible doctrines and commandments that God has spelled out in His Word. When you see them begin to develop convictions and standards and principles to live their life by. Amen. When you began to see their spirit being conformed to the spirit of Christ and develop love and have a sense of peace and to live their life in joy. Amen. Even though they're facing hardships, when you look at their life and you see the joy of the Lord is abounding in the hardest and darkest of times, amen, that is when the plowman looks back and says, there is my payoff. Amen. You see, what the man of God does is for your spiritual growth. Amen. When he sees your family growing closer together and to the Lord, this is his payoff. Amen. What a payoff it is. Number two, let me say a word about this. You just have to let me give you the word of God here. But I want to say tonight, his payoff is found in the hope that is gained. Every plowman that plows and husbandman that sows, even in the natural realm, when you put you, I think, Mike, did you say you was plowing for your garden this week and getting his garden in the ground? You know what Mike and Debbie was doing when they was putting their garden in the ground? You know how they plowed and they sowed? They did so in hope. Now, they've planted a lot of gardens that's come up through the years. Maybe some produce better than others. All right? But when you put your garden in the ground, what you're really doing, you're plowing and sowing just with the hope that it's going to come up and produce a crop. And it don't matter how successful it was last year. You are just hopeful, amen, that it's going to come up, that the right amount of rain's going to come by, the right amount of sunshine, the right environment is going to be around to produce what needs to come up. Are y'all understanding? You're just plowing and sowing in hope, in the hope that it's going to come up. Amen. You can't make it grow. Amen. You can stand there all day and scream at it and holler at it and say, green beans, you better come up. All your screaming ain't going to do nothing. You're just hoping. Amen. So what do you mean, preacher? Well, I want you to understand the plowman, God's plowman, plows in hope as well. Every time I get up to preach, you know what I'm doing? I'm hoping it makes a connection in somebody's life.
Amen.
Amen. I'm hoping somebody will get a hold of it. I'm just hoping somebody's attentive enough and interested enough, receptive enough, that it's going to bring about fruit. So the plowman plows in hope. But when the harvest becomes a reality, listen now, when the harvest becomes a reality, he is to be given the opportunity to gain in that hope that he sowed in. Now, this is hard for me to preach being your pastor, but it's still the Bible. Right? I preach this any other place, so I got to preach it here because it's in the context. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And look with me in verse number... Boy, there's a lot we could glean. I don't have time. I got to quit. But notice here verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9. It is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? And Paul is going to make a biblical declaration of the church's responsibility to take care of the man of God. Amen. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? Verse 10. For our sakes. No doubt this is written, watch it now, that he that ploweth should plow, the plowman now, who's doing the plowing? The plowman. That he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things?
Amen.
What Paul has just made a declaration about is God's plowman plows in hope. He plows in hope, anticipating and praying over the fact that the harvest is going to be successful. Amen. And that is measured differently in the spiritual realm than it is the business realm. But as he plows and he sows and he threshes, he's doing all that in hope. And here's what Paul said. When that hope becomes a reality, it is the church's responsibility to pay off God's plowman.
Amen.
Amen. And that's not a problem here. I'm not preaching at y'all like you don't. So don't take me wrong. Amen. But it must be understood, and our church is growing, and we got to keep that in mind, that it is God's plan, that part of the way the plowman is paid off lies upon that field, letting him gain from the hope that he has plowed in. Is that right? That's just the word of God. You say, preacher, are you trying to tell us? I'm just trying to give you the book. Amen. It's right, the hope that is gained. Amen. Ain't a problem here, but there's a lot of preachers I know. Amen. I'm going to be careful. I know of a church that, in fact, I preach this message in. Just sad. A preacher that has been faithful and preached and plowed, and God is blessing their church. And while I was preaching it, I told them, I said, I wasn't trying to be in their business. I just told them, I said, if y'all ain't give your preacher a raise, y'all need to work on that. They all went, hey, man. I said, boy, y'all agree so much. Why don't we just have somebody make a motion right now? And there's a man on the second row. He said, I'll make that motion. And I was about to get myself in a mess, Brother Tim. I said, time out. Y'all do that when I'm gone. I ain't so pastor. I shut it down. And, they didn't do anything about that. That's sad. And I know they agree. And I know by and large, as far as I could tell, but nobody was taking the lead on it. And I know that pastor real, real well. And his heart is heavy, because he's not getting the payoff. Not that he thinks he deserves it, but it is a need in his life. It is a need in his life, and he has plowed there faithfully. And he's in a position where he's having to make decisions about how he and his family is going to make it. And that church is missing a great opportunity to be a part of the payoff of God's plan.
Amen.
Y'all believe that, don't you? I believe that. And if they're not careful, if that church ain't careful, you listen to what I'm going to tell you. If that church ain't careful, God will move that plowman somewhere else where he can have his payoff.
Amen.
And there's a bunch of churches would be glad to have that plowman. You know what I'm talking about. They'd be glad to have that plowman. You know what I've seen God do? God said, if they ain't going to let the plowman have his payoff, I've watched God pick that plowman up, give him another ground to plow in where he could reap the payoff. God's word said he's entitled to.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't that good?
Amen.
That's a little teaching for you tonight. I got to calm down, because I don't want to be misunderstood on this. Amen. Y'all were good to me. Amen. Amen. Stay at it. Amen. Stay at it. Notice with me in the text, I'm done right here, the honor that is given. I love how this parable ends, Brother Tim. He said, this also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts. What does he say? Isaiah said, let me tell you something. The plowman can plow and do what he has been sent to do. And if he's a real plowman of God, come rain, sunshine, wind, storms, Amen. Criticism, compliments, it doesn't matter. If he's really God's plowman, he's going to plow. He's going to do what God put him there to do. Whether or not there's ever a harvest that is gathered, and whether or not there's ever a hope that is gained, whether all that looks like it's going to come to pass or not. Here's what Isaiah just said. All this harvest being gathered in, it's the Lord that does it. The plowman cannot make the crops grow. He said, this also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. After plowing, sowing, threshing, here's what the plowman does. The plowman simply looks around, has to point everybody to the Lord for the excellent work that God did. The Lord getting glory, you got to understand this. The Lord getting glory is the payoff of God's plan.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.